Hey, welcome back, everybody. It's time once again to meet our community, the Hispanic business community here in Orange County. Powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio. Streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beale Applied Innovation Center with, I call him Mr. OC. I think he's Mr. Boxing here now. We got some boxing royalty in the house again.
Yes,
here.
We have another great boxer with us, a local hero in our community, Mr. Ronnie Rios, who was born in L.A., but raised in Santa Ana, and not only is he a professional boxer, but he's overall just a good guy, does a lot of good stuff in the community, and we're so excited to have him on our community podcast show, powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. I'm your host, John Gutierrez, Senior Vice President. Welcome, Mr. Ronnie Rios.
Thank you, man. Thank you for having me. Such a pleasure. Such a great vibe here. I really appreciate it, guys.
No, we appreciate having you. I know that you're super busy right now training for probably your next fight?
At the moment, no, because I had suffered an injury two weeks ago in my last fight. And right now, I'm just taking time with the family. I'm still working out regardless. You know, I can never take more than 4 or 3 days off. So, you know, you always got to be a professional and stay in the gym.
Yeah, well, you fought a couple weeks ago.
Yeah, 2 weeks from today.
And you KO'd this gentleman in the 5th round?
Yes, sir.
What was that like? Being back again, right?
It felt so good, man. You know, taking close to 2 years off and, you know, after suffering so many ups and downs, it's just, you know, it messes with you mentally.
Really?
Yeah, it does. It does. It really, you know, to get myself back geared up, it was such a hard obstacle. You know, I would have to say that this sport is 90% mental and 10% physical. Now, that doesn't necessarily mean that you're not going to run, you're not going to train hard. That's not what I'm saying. But as far as to overcome those mental hurdles, oh, man, it's really, really hard.
Really?
Yeah.
I got to tell you, for those of you guys listening, I got to watch Ronnie fight in person. How long ago was this fight? Yeah,
probably about three and a half, maybe 4 years
ago. Is that what it was? Yeah. 3 and a half? And it was at the StubHub in the LA area, right?
Yeah.
And I remember going to this fight, and a lot of us from Santa Ana who know Ronnie and were there to support him. And you were an underdog, if I'm correct,
in that fight. Yeah, I think it was like a 4-1, 6-1 underdog.
Yes. And for those of you that don't know, the young man he was fighting was the nephew of Oscar De La Hoya,
yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And which was interesting because you've been involved with Golden Boy Promotion.
Yeah.
And his whole Oscar De La Hoya group, right? And team. And now here you were fighting somebody in his family, right?
Yeah, it was weird because I remember prior to that, we had came back and we had fought at the Forum. That was my comeback fight after the previous loss. So I came back, we scored a TKO win, and then, you know, I was at the gym, and then my previous coach was like, hey, we got an offer to somebody. And I was like, oh, who is it? He's like, oh, Diego De La Hoya. And he's like, you want to take some time to think about it? And I was like, no. I was like, tell him, yeah, we accept. So sure enough, we accepted the fight within 5 seconds, and we got ready for that fight, and, you know, the results speak for themselves.
I almost feel like they thought you're just going to be a walk on the park.
I do too.
Right?
Is that safe to say? I think so too. I think that was a purpose, you know, and I think they underestimated me. And I think, you know, we trained super hard for it, not just the dedication. It's like I was telling you earlier, a lot of the sport's more mental than physical in my point of view.
Well, I see you a lot around in the community and I see you at events. And I remember specifically during that time that when I ran into you before your fight, I remember thinking, wow, I've never seen Ronnie this in shape. You were in top-notch shape. Yeah. Like, your skin looked just flawless. You just, I mean, you worked really hard to get into shape for that fight, would you say?
Of course. And it's sometimes, you know, sometimes working out is probably the best thing, but it's also taking care of yourself too. You know, rest is important, nutrition is important, rehydration is important, all that has to play key. You know, it's not just you just train, it's also your mindset too. So I would have to say I was 100% for that fight.
Yeah, I remember being at the fight, and there was a lot of people from Santa Ana that we grew up with, One of them being my friend Leo Leon, which you know well, right?
He's actually a close neighbor.
Yes, shout out to Leo, who my brother knows well. Leo was a legend in Santa Ana, basketball player, him and his family. And I remember him being at the fight, and he was down at the bottom at some great seats. And I went down real quick. We talked, and we were all so excited, but also, you know, we were nervous for you. You know, as fans, we're scared for, A, your safety.
Yeah.
And obviously, we want you to be successful and win. But somewhere in the fight, we were just like, are you kidding me? No way. Like, you know, like you were just, I mean, you just, you had the eye of the tiger that day. Yeah. Something like, hey, I'm not going to be a step over.
Yeah.
I'm not going to be a walk in the park. I'm going to show everybody. And Diego de la Hoya had a big crowd. There was a lot of people that day for him there.
I mean, like I said, he was a favorite. He had at that time, he was undefeated. He had a decent following, like a pretty big following.
He was undefeated?
Yeah, he was undefeated at that time. He was actually, he had just been some former world champions prior to that couple of fights ago. So yeah, he had a big following that he was going to be the next, they were making him out to be the next world champion.
Wow.
Yeah, yeah. So, and we had sparred like a while back, like I think it was like a year or two, right before I suffered my first loss, we had sparred. So we had only sparred once. So I was kind of familiar with the style. And I remember thinking, oh, this guy's fast. He puts his punches together. So, you know, they put up a great game plan to kind of utilize that. And sure enough, it worked out.
What was your game plan, if you don't mind sharing that?
Just counter. Yeah, it was just a counter because he likes countering. He's a counter puncher. So a counter puncher always wants you to come forward, make mistakes. So we were going to take that away from him and make him come forward, you know.
Interesting.
Yeah, yeah.
So your game plan from your coaches and yourself paid him. Did you see that right away in the fight? Could you feel that, okay, this is working?
Kind of, yeah, you could. Yeah. The thing I remember about that fight, to be honest with you, was just being in the zone. You know, I was always in the zone. I remember I couldn't hear anything like that much. You know, it was just like, it was kind of like everything was focused on him. Everything else was blurry, you know. That's how I remember that fight.
Wow.
Yeah.
I remember going home and talking to my wife about it. And I was like, honey, he was like Rocky, man. He was the one that they didn't expect to win. I mean, he had a huge crowd. I think they thought it was going to be an easy fight. Yeah. Like, oh, there's no way. And here's this kid from Santana.
Yeah.
And you went to the body a lot. I remember.
I still do.
That's
one of my biggest traits is going to the body.
See, I was watching the fight, you see? I remember you were going to the body a lot because he was a bigger guy.
Yeah. No, he was shorter than I was.
Was he shorter? But he just seemed like a little bit.
He was a little stockier.
Stockier, right?
Yeah, because he was shorter and he was a little stockier. So, like, you know, I had to be careful with getting caught with anything dumb, you know?
Yeah. What's it like, Ronnie, when you're in these fights? What's it like as far as, like, if you don't mind me going into the fear of, let's say, your life or something?
Yeah.
Does that cross your mind? Do you just zone all that out? What's that like?
You're never scared to obviously lose your life. At least for me, I always go into a fight. You know, I'm willing to put it all on the line. Whether, you know, because let's be honest, boxing is very dangerous. You hear about people passing away, you know, and I've always told everybody on my team, like, oh, you know, this is something that I chose to do. I'm not being forced to do. So right off the bat, I'm always willing to give it everything I have, you know. And I remember one fight in particular when I fought Azat. I remember we collided heads, and then after we collided heads, I started getting swelled up, and he continued to hit me. He was landing the harder shots. Wow. And my head was throbbing. And I remember the referee came up to him and said, hey, Ronnie, he's like, since this is an accidental headbutt, we can go to the scorecards. I can stop the fight. And I was like, no, man. I was like, I'm going to finish this. You know, I'm going to finish this. So sure enough, he ended up beating me. And like a round or two later. And I remember thinking to myself, like, because when he asked me, do you want me to stop the fight? And I was like, oh, you know, what if something happens to me? You know, I have a wife. I have a kid at that time.
Sure.
One kid. And I was like, what if something happens to me? And I was just like, you know what, man? I was like, I have to go out on my shield. That's just the person I am.
Yeah. I think that's probably, as you get older, the toughest part now that you have family, right? You got children, your wife. It's difficult, right? Some of these decisions become more complicated. Yeah. Let me ask you this. Can we go a little bit about into like yourself and just where you were born and, you know, where you grew up and how you ended up in boxing? Can we get a little bit into
of
that?
Of course, of course. Okay, so I was born in Martin Luther King Hospital in L.A.
Okay.
And we lived in Compton. until I was 4 years
Compton,
old.
Compton, huh?
Yeah, Compton. I still remember.
Now, during the NW days, like, everybody would talk about Compton, like, those days?
It was like, I lived there in 94, 90, from 90 to 94.
So there's some yeah. pretty tough times.
Yeah, yeah. I think the riots went on.
Yes.
Yeah. The riots went on. So I remember after my parents got divorced, I was 4 years old, we relocated to Santa Ana. Off of, if anybody is aware of Santa Ana, Holiday Street.
Okay.
Delhi Park.
Yes, that's right.
That's where we lived for a while, and then we kept bouncing around. But we always kept coming back to Santa Ana, you know, because obviously my grandparents lived there. And, you know, I went to Saddleback, I went to McFadden, I went to Monroe. And, you know, we always kept coming back to Santa Ana. And it just, to me, that's home. You know, even though I wasn't born there, I was raised there. I still live there to this day. You know, that's home.
Let me ask you this. Growing up as a kid in Santa Ana, especially like in the Delhi area, was it tough? Like, do you remember that maybe boxing played a role in your life?
I wasn't boxing at that time.
No, but were you getting in fights? Like, were you a kid who was just like, hey, don't mess with me, man? Like,
no, not at all, man. So it was actually the opposite.
Really?
So one time, it was my brother and I. We were at Delhi Park, right there by the restrooms.
Mm-hmm.
At that time, I remember there was no handball court at that time because this was a while back. But we were playing on the grass. We were playing soccer. And I remember this guy. He was a notorious guy at that area. I remember he just came up to me and just started beating me up.
Really?
Yeah, but he was older than me by like 5-6 years.
Wow. Yeah. Literally just picking on
yeah,
you.
Yeah, he literally just beat me up. I remember he knocked me down and he got on top of me, started like punching me.
Wow.
Remember, that's the one, my tooth fell out. That's one of the reasons. And then when they grew back out, that's why I have that gap.
Really?
Yeah, yeah. And I remember I was just like, damn. But he was all older than me, you know. And for some reason, to this day, I don't know why he decided to lash out on me. But, you know, that still, when that happened, that didn't put fear in me. We still went back to that park. We still walked by that park to go to the liquor store. I still went to school around that park. So, you know, it's like,
It's part of life.
You know, you get knocked down, you get back up, you get hurt, you get back up, you know. To this day, you know, from time to time, I still run around that park. Like, no matter what, I won't change that. You know, growing up in Santa Ana.
Wow. And do you feel that you get that, you know, if you knock me down, I'm going to get back up from your mom? Is it, like, you seen how tough it was for your mom being a single mom raising you guys at a young age or something?
Yeah, I would say so. And then, the thing is, so my mom kind of remarried with my brother's dad, who's Alexis Rocha.
Okay.
He's also a pro fighter, too.
Yes.
Yeah, so she remarried. But the thing is, I wasn't too close to his dad. I used to see him around, but it wasn't like, he wasn't a father figure, you know. He never gave me advice and stuff like that. So I kind of grew up with that. If I would have to say that somebody helped me out growing up, it was probably my uncle, Ramiro Quesada. He's the one that introduced me to boxing.
Really?
Yeah, he's the one. He's been a big fan. So I remember one time my mom took off to Mexico, or so they said. I don't know where they went. You know,
yeah.
They left my brother and I. I don't know if they left Lex or they took Lex, but they left us at my uncle's house. And I remember my uncle was a big boxing fanatic. He used to have KO boxing magazines, The Ring. And I remember I picked one up, and I remember I'm always going to remember the main page, the cover page. Shane Mosley versus Sugar Shane Mosley versus Vernon Forrest Part 2. Remember, I was like, damn, I was like, those are some cool names. And so I started reading the center page. I started reading the fight. I was like, oh, man. So, and then I started reading about Floyd Mayweather. The very first fight I watched from beginning to end was Floyd Mayweather versus Jose Luis Castillo Part 2. That was the very first fight I saw. And then from that on, I started watching more fights. You know, I started watching Chris Bird. I started watching Sugar Shane Mosley, Oscar De La. I started watching everybody. And then I started looking up the past. And then I really got hooked on boxing. And
wow.
Then, yeah, I got hooked on boxing. Then I started, you know, then my uncle took us to our very first gym, which is TKO. Yeah, so we showed up and we started training. I started training with my previous coach, you know. I remember when we walked in, there was pictures of the fighters. They were all young and they all had belts. And I was like, oh, crap, like, damn. I remember asking, I was like, oh, what are those belts? Like, oh, national tournaments. I was like, okay, who has the most? He's like, that guy right there. You know, I remember him, he had like two or three belts. And I was like, I want to win more belts than that. And he's like, okay, you know, just give it everything. Sure enough, I ended up winning more national titles. You know, I had a pretty decent, you know, extensive amateur career. And then, you know, the rest is just history for me.
Well, I mean, TKO Boxing, shout out to them. I know
Mary Lara.
Mary Lara, I mean, such a nice lady. And just just everybody over there. They're such good people. I know they do so much in the community at the center there. If any of you are watching or listening and you've never heard of TKO Boxing, what's the center that it's under? It's that Jerome Center, right?
Yeah.
If you know, Jerome Center does so much in the community, right? If you ever can support what they're doing there, it's just a good place. And I know, of course, you mentioned your brother, Alexis Rocha, who has won, right?
Yeah.
Multiple championships, right?
Yeah. He's won some belts, too.
Yes.
The amateur and professional rankings, too.
Yes. And so it's just beautiful to see that out of this area, out of Santana, out of TKO Boxing, both of you have been able to come out as successful professional athletes. You know, and regardless of records and championships and all of that, which is great, don't get me wrong, I think it's just more than anything, it's for me, being at the StubHub Center, seeing you on that ring, you know, seeing you walk out that day, it was like, I mean, it was one of these feelings of, and just like when we see your brother on TV, right? Also like at the Honda Center and stuff like that. It's just like this feeling of like, hey, you know, these young men are a product of where we grew up in Santana.
Yeah.
And for that, you know, we applaud you.
Thank you.
We thank you. We appreciate all you have done because, like you said, you know, this is, you chose this profession.
Yeah.
You know, and in essence, it chose you.
Yeah. I mean,
right?
Kind of, you know, I owe that to my uncle, Ramiro Quesada. So I owe that to him because, you know, he did support us and he did take us to the gym. And to this day, you know, I still keep in touch with them. I still hang out with them, you know. So that's one of the things, too, that I also want to touch base on, too, is like relationships.
Yeah.
How much does a relationship mean to you? You know, you have to be willing to take and give, you know, for these relationships. Because at the end of the day, like you said, you want to give back. You always want to give back. I want to give back to my community. And I also want to give back to the people that have helped me out tremendously.
To that uncle. Shout out to him.
Shout out to that
uncle. Muchas gracias, tío. Yeah. Paul, you had a question?
Yeah, I'm just curious. Now, you've had a couple of boxes on here. What is the local boxing scene like? Is it an active scene? Are they producing lots of high-quality boxers, or do you still have to go to L.A. or someplace else to really get your shot?
Well, in Santa Ana, there's been a lot of great gyms popping out. You know, there's been a lot that are actually competing. They're actually making it to the Nationals for those younger guys. So, you know, I'm currently at RTB Boxing, and obviously, like, they also have a lot of...
And that's on, what, Florida or something? That's not even here.
No. That one's in Santa Ana. That's my promotion. Right. Yeah, that's... Right. Yeah. So that one's here. That's Raw Talent Boxing. That's on Harbor and MacArthur. Still Santa Ana, borderline Costa Mesa. You know, we have a lot of fighters that are actually competing in the amateur circuit.
Nice.
So, you know, and then we got such a great team, you know, Jesus Gutierrez, Jose Hernandez, Eric Duarte, Mario Hernandez too. So, you know, we got a bunch of different coaches, bunch of fighters too. So we're starting from the ground up, but we got the ball going now.
What is it about Orange County that produces so many high caliber athletes?
You got tough kids here.
Is that it? Because I mean,
kids.
You know, modern day, the kid Bryce was the Heisman Trophy winner in football, played for Alabama.
I'm gonna let Ronnie answer the question shortly here, but I will tell you this. And Ronnie and I were just talking about this over before the show, and that's Memorial Park.
Yeah.
Memorial Park is a perfect example of where talent is produced. When I was a kid growing up, we played Pop Warner football there. As I got older, I would go to the park to just see what was going on. And the modern-day high school football coach would show up every, like, grand opening of the year of football, and he would start picking out the talent that he wanted to go to modern day. A lot of people don't realize that modern day high school, all those years in football, had very successful years because he would go, and he told me that day himself when I asked him, Coach, what brings you here to the Memorial Park?
Yeah.
And he's like, this is where I, you know, the way he talked, this is where I find all the tough kids right here in Santa Ana. So even though he would go out and find talent in other places, something about Santa Ana kids, you know, the way the city raises you, right? Tough kids. And so, how would you answer the boxing situation? Would you say there's a lot of good talent in Santa Ana?
Yeah, there's a lot of tough talent. I guess it's, at least for me, you grow up, you know, I mean, I'm not going to say poor, like, but you grew up struggling.
You know?
Your mom's working numerous hours to put, your parents are working numerous hours to put jobs. You hardly see them. You know, you see TV, and you see all these toys, you see all these places to go eat, and you tell your mom, "Hey, can we go eat here?" It's like, oh, you know, they don't tell you why, but you know, financially, you can't afford that.
Yeah,
and it drives something. It makes you want to work harder. You know, it makes you want to sacrifice more. It's just like growing up, wanting stuff in life. It's very, very difficult. It makes you change in some way. You know,
for someone like you, now that you're going into that. What was that like for you to go from, hey, I'm this kid from Santa Ana, I come from a working class family, right? Financially, we can only do so much, but now I'm fighting at certain fights that are paying me as a fighter probably what my mom or dad would make in a whole year.
Yeah.
In one fight. What was that like for you? I mean, to kind of explain to your parents and your family.
I mean, it never really crossed your mind. It never really crossed my mind mm-hmm. at that time. It wasn't until, like, I'll be honest with you guys, it wasn't until, like, not this last fight, but the previous fight, where I did make good money, and then I retired. You know, I retired. There's just some stuff that happens behind closed doors that, you know, you never want to talk about. It's not that you don't want to talk about, you just want to let it be.
Let it be.
Let it be. Just move yes. on. Leave it in the past and just move on. And I got a job working for this apartment complex called the Avalon.
Mm-hmm.
You know, they own the Avalon, Eves, Contra, I think. So I started doing, I was a leasing consultant because I used to do real estate as well, too. And I was working there for a good year. And then I was just like, man, I was thinking to myself, I never told anybody, but I was thinking to myself, like, man, you know, you would make good money in a month in boxing. Now, you know, you just got to... I'm not saying you're living paycheck to paycheck, but you know, you're kind of limited to where you can go travel, where you can go eat and stuff like that. And I was just thinking, like, damn. And then I wasn't missing boxing at that time when I was retired. I was missing boxing because I was like, man, I got to the world championship, but I couldn't win it twice.
Mm.
And I remember I told my wife, I was like, you know what, babe? I know I can win those belts. And she's like, okay. Then go for it. And then this is the one thing that a lot of people don't know. So when I left TKO, right, or, you know, whatever you want to say, I wasn't there anymore. I started working at RTB, but I never saw myself coming back to the ring.
Mm.
And I told my wife, I was like, I want to come back to the ring, but I just don't know who would be my coach. And she's like, oh, what about Jesus Gutierrez? They call him Chewy. So I was like, what about Chewy? And then I've told this to Chewy several times. And I was like, well, I don't know if he has experience to get me to that world title. I know he has fighters, but, you know, he's never been to a world title. And my wife was like, okay, your previous gym. I was like, how many world championships did they have there? And I was like, none. Okay, how many Olympians did they have there before you got there? And I was like, none. I was the first one. She's like, okay. She's like, be the first one for this gym too. She's like, go. Bust your ass off and go get it. And I was like, all right. So then I spoke to Chewy. I was like, hey, dude, I want to come back. Would you mind being in my corner? And you and Frank Barajas, he's from San Diego.
Mm.
So he comes like 2-3 times a week, you know. And shout out to Frank Barajas, wow. too, because he makes the drive from San Diego. Yeah,
what a sacrifice.
Yeah, shout out to Frank Barajas, too, man. He's also one of the coaches, too. So I spoke to the both of them, got them together. I was like, hey, you know what? Because they never really worked together. They just knew each other. It's like, hey, you guys have to work. You know, do you guys mind working together so we can make a comeback? And they're like, okay, let's do it. So then we started working out. And I'm not going to lie to you. The first couple of months was freaking hard coming back. You know, sparring was terrible for me. You know, I was just like, damn. Because I had a job at that time. And I was like, man, this is a lot harder than I remember. You know, I was doing terrible in sparring. And then I was like, there was one time that I sparred and it went so bad. And I went home. I never told anybody. This is a story that I didn't tell anybody till recently. I was thinking to myself, like, you know what, man? I just don't have it anymore. I was like, I think it's time to hang him up. Went home. And then my wife was like, what's wrong? She's like, I can see you're down. And I was like, I don't know, but I didn't do good in sparring. And she's like, okay, well, she's like, well, pick it up. You got tomorrow. And I was like, I didn't tell her at that time. I was just like, man, should I just hang him up and just continue doing what I'm doing? And she's like, well, pick him up. And then I slept on it that night. I was like, you know what, man? I was like, I want to win that belt. I was like, I really want, and I'm willing to go through anything. So if I'm willing to go through anything, I have to get over this hump. And I didn't have anybody beating me up at that time. You know, I didn't have anybody telling me all this stuff. So the day went by. I was like, okay. I was like, okay, I remember I told myself, okay, relax. Yesterday was a bad day. Pick yourself up. Go back. So then I did. And I started picking it up. And then sparring started going good. Then better. Then better. Then my run started getting better. And I was like, damn. So then, you know, then I reached out to somebody. Sure enough, because my contract with Golden Boy had expired for the last fight. And I didn't want to reach out to him, too, because, you know, coming back, I was like, you know. Also, too, there's another person that wasn't there anymore, Robert Diaz. You know, Robert Diaz, he was one of the, he was a matchmaker for Golden Boy. He's not there anymore. And I always told Robert Diaz, because me and him are still good friends to this day. He's actually one of my, he's my advisor now. I told him, hey, you're not a Golden Boy anymore. It's like, I go wherever you go. But at this time, he was kind of like, he was in between different places. So I reached out to another promoter that I knew. They offered me this fight. I'm like, okay, you know, we'll offer you this fight. We started training for this fight in early October. Things were going good. Things were going great, as a matter of fact. We started training. October 28th, my brother-in-law passed away, right? And we were getting ready for the fight. I remember this like it was yesterday. We were in bed. It was like 12:43.
Wow.
It was 12:43. Everybody was asleep. My wife, she started, you know, obviously, I heard her on the phone. I was like, babe, what happened? What happened? And she told me. I was like, damn. So then, you know, we went to my mother-in-law's house. Everybody was there. It just felt so unreal. Losing somebody close to you.
I don't want to interrupt you, but you know what's interesting about your story so far is your wife has played such a huge role in your life during this process. From you kept saying how she kept telling you, keep going, keep doing this.
Yeah.
And it's interesting how suddenly now, you know, that rock of a person suddenly loses her brother.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And now she's down for the count in a way.
Yeah.
Right?
Yeah.
And now you're like, wow, like my rock is down for the count right now. That's tough, man.
No, that is
right before your fight.
A couple weeks. It was like, so it was October 28th. We're supposed to fight, I want to say December 9th. So we still got like a month and a half. A month and like 2 weeks or something like that. So, you know, my wife and I were like, damn, it felt so unreal. So I was like thinking, I was like, man, I was like, I can't just leave her at a time like this. And I also felt it too, because my brother-in-law and I were really close. You know, real close. He kind of became a brother to me.
Sorry to hear that.
I think he became another brother to me. So sure enough, I get the coaches together. I was like, hey, guys, like, I'm sorry to say this, you know, but I told him what happened. My coach was like, okay. And I expect them to say, like, well, I'm sorry to hear that, but we got to get ready for this fight. But they were the opposite. They're like, okay, take all the time you need. I'll cancel the fight. And I was like, are you sure, dude? Because I don't want to, like, look bad with the promoters. Like, hey, don't worry about it, bro. I was like, your family comes first. Go take care of your family. And I was like, okay. And I was like, because honestly, I wouldn't be able to perform to them at the best because, like I said,
mentally.
To this day, I was actually thinking about him this morning.
Yeah.
So, you know, the fight was off, and then keep in mind, I had quit my job prior to that. So the money that was told that, oh, you know, you'll get a little signing bonus to help you out, never came through. So obviously, my wife is the only one working at this point. I have no money coming in. You know, I had to, you know, do all kinds of stuff, you know, with the house and stuff like that. And sure enough, finally, I meet with Roberto Diaz again. And I was like, hey, you know, it's not about the money, but I want to come back, you know. And also, I also told him, you know, I'm struggling a little bit, but I'm not doing this for the money. I'm doing this to win a world belt. So we sat down, we met. He was like, okay. I was like, I'll help you out. I was like, give me some time. So then sure enough, he comes back. He's like, hey, I got somebody with you, you know, good promoter. They're a good promotional company. They're up and coming. I really like how they do it. You know, I got this date. And I was like, okay, I'll take it. This is by February already. We started training for it. Sure enough, we go out there. Everything was good. You know, I performed good. But my point of the story is you never lose trust in yourself. Never lose faith in yourself. You know, there will be times when you do lose faith in yourself, but then you got people. I have friends, my wife, that have helped me out tremendously. Because mentally, to me, It's harder to be mentally vulnerable than to be obviously physically vulnerable, because your mind will play tricks on you. Your mind casts doubt on your abilities, and you know you will bring yourself down. And if you don't, then you got other people that will bring you down.
Wow, I think that's something that for those of you listening or watching, when you do decide to retire, I think you're going to play such a huge role in mentoring other boxers on how the importance of not physically only being in shape, right? Yeah. But mentally being strong. Yeah. I mean, because I've heard you say this at least four times since you walked into the studio today. how the mental capacity plays such a huge role in your career, right?
Of course.
So many times you face those challenges as far as, you know, that doubt, that, you know, it's tough times mentally right now. What's next for you? What is the goal? I mean, I know you want to win the big championships, so you're taking some time off because you just won this other fight, right?
I wanted to come back in July.
Okay.
But I suffered a little wrist injury in the fight.
Okay.
So, you know, I mean, it's nothing serious.
You got to take it easy. You got to hear.
I can't hit anything for like at least a month.
Okay.
So I'm still at the gym. But yeah, my goal has always been and continues to be to bring back a world champion to Santa Ana. You know, like I said, I don't want to just fight for it. I want to bring it back home. I want to say, oh, you know, we did history. So that's my goal.
That is awesome. And we want to wish you all the best and obviously give a lot of credit to all those that have been supporting you, from your wife to obviously people like Mary Lara at TKO Boxing to now RTB, right? Raw Boxing Talent. Thank you for, you know, obviously supporting you and what you're doing and all those gentlemen that you mentioned.
There's a lot of stuff that happens behind closed doors. I also got a lot of help before and to this day from the Esparza family. You know, that being Ron Esparza, Marcelo Esparza, Bobby, and obviously Celeste. Like, they've helped me out tremendously in the past to this day. You know, I wouldn't be able to go into this last fight without their help 100%, like I was mentally and physically, because they helped me out, you know. This fight really opened up a lot of sponsorship opportunities, and that really helped me out financially to get ready for this fight so I can focus more on the fight instead of doing, you know, like little side jobs here and there.
Well, shout out to all your sponsors.
Thank
because
you.
Without them, like you said, you wouldn't be able to do what you're doing. You know, at the end of the day, you represent a part of the heart of Santa Ana and who we are. I can tell you firsthand, watching you fight at the StubHub, I had not ever been to a boxing fight in my life.
Yeah.
That was my first time ever at a boxing fight. So to be at a boxing fight watching somebody that I know, as a fan, yes, it's exciting, but it's also nerve-wracking because you know that person. And obviously you wish nothing but the best and that you don't get hurt.
Especially in health, yeah.
Yeah, right? And so obviously to see you win that fight and be successful and just the way the crowd and a lot of us from Santa Ana were there, you know, it was an experience like no other.
Yeah.
And, you know, I want to thank you for bringing that to us in Santa Ana and to obviously hopefully other people in Orange County that follow you and your brother, you know, Alexis.
Yeah.
Because... like you said, this is something that seems to me like you love, right?
Oh, yeah.
This is passion. Your passion.
Yeah, yeah. And, you know, this has been a passion that's been burning for a while. And I'll be honest with you, sometimes you do lose that passion for whatever reason. But that's the thing about passion. It comes back, you know, and sometimes
but
it comes back.
But that's in every industry, you know, like every industry. You could be in every job, every industry. You go through those highs and lows, right?
Yeah, yeah.
You go through the times where you're tired, you're burned out, and you take a break, and then you kind of energize the batteries, and then you're like, okay, let's go at it again, right?
Yeah.
But more importantly, the fact that you've continued to come back, even though you've had some challenges and some tough times, says a lot about you,
thank you.
You know, and says a lot also about your wife, you know, shout outs to her, and let's continue to thank her. Yes, Mr. Paul Roberts.
Just want to thank him for being so honest and open, because it's hard to talk. It's easy to talk about the wins. It's hard to talk about the tough times, and that's where we all learn.
Yeah. Like they always say, you don't really get to know a person or know about a person until you hear like the goods and the bads. You know?
Yeah, when you're down, that's when you really got to decide what you're made of here.
Yeah, that's when you're gonna really. That's when. You're really going to test yourself whether you can wake up in the morning, go do it over and over and over again, even if you have a bad day or you have a few bad days in a row. Can you get up and do it? You really got to ask yourself, like, and it's not just in boxing. It's in business. It's in life. It's in everything. You got to ask yourself. This is what I asked myself when I came prior to come back. Can I do it? And you got to be 100% with yourself. Can I do it? And you got to ask yourself, like, are you willing to do the sacrifice? Are you willing to put in the work, you know, whether it's odd hours, whether it's something different that you're not used to? And that's one of the things that I really liked about RTB is, like, they really, really pushed you. Or they pushed me. You know, like, all these hard runs. They took us out to Mount Baldy. They took us out to Peter's Canyon. You know, we had done that in the past, but this was more, this was competitive. Like, oh, you know, like, you're tired. And I told Coach Hernandez a couple of times, like, oh, man, I don't know if I'm going to be able to make it. I'm tired. And I remember he told me, he's like, oh, that's just an excuse. If you don't want it, cool, stay home. You know, and I was like, damn. And it gets kind of mad, like, oh, man. Like, you know, I've done, you know, this and this, like, you know, and then you're like, oh, you know what? He's right. And it's easy to get mad at somebody else for trying to push you. But at the end of the day, it's up to you. You got to push yourself. You can't have other people pushing you, other people wanting it more than you, you know?
Well, we got to wrap it up. I'm sorry that time has gone by so fast. Ronnie, thank you for being on our show. And I know we're going to have you back because you're also looking to
launch. When he wins the world championship.
Yes, that. And plus, I hear he wants to start a business.
Yeah.
You know, we'll talk about that next time when you're on the show. Please do come back. We wish you all the best. We wish you all success. And, you know, please send our best to your wife. I'm sorry about the loss of your brother-in-law, you know. Maybe now you're fighting in his spirit, you know,
yeah, in
his
memory. In the trunks, J-Bone.
Right?
I had it in the back.
There you go, right? And, you know, shout-outs to him and his memory. And, you know, and not only that, continue all success. You know, your brother Alexis, wish him all the best and all he's doing. And thank you for making us so proud, you know, of all you've done in Santana, you know, representing us really well. And stay tuned, folks. Follow him on social media, Mr. Ronnie Rios. You know, you're going to see him coming back and winning the championship and again, representing us in Santa Ana. Thank you all for tuning in again to our community podcast show powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce. Wish you all the best, Ronnie. Take care, brother. Take it away, Mr. Paul Roberts.
Wow. Well, there you have it. If that doesn't bring you back for more, I don't know what will. Real people telling real stories of what it's really doing here in our community. Powered by the Orange County Hispanic Chamber of Commerce and Orange County's only community radio station, OC Talk Radio. Streaming live from our studios here at the University of California, Irvine's Beale Applied Innovation Center.